I love Amazon Fresh Pickup. There are only two of them in the entire world. One of them is, you know, about 7 blocks away from us.
Is that still a thing? I feel like there was a lot of buzz, and then I haven't thought
about it
since.
Apparently, Todd's using it.
It's amazing.
It's their one customer.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the GeekWire podcast. It's GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
Civic editor Monica Nicholsberg.
And John Cook, co-founder of GeekWire.
Hey, it's great to have you all here.
It's great to be here.
Thanks, Todd. What are we going to talk about?
Well, we got a lot to talk about. We've got sort of the future of grocery stores. We've got Jeff Bezos with some completely unexpected news.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time we covered a divorce, but I guess when you're the world's richest person.
Yes, and there are lots of implications beyond the personal issues that he's obviously going through. And then we also have a fascinating story about Facebook and why it should be taking a page from Uber's playbook, of all things, which was a great column that you wrote this past week, Monica. But I wanted to start by giving folks a little bit of a behind-the-scenes glimpse. You know, for many years, we were on the radio, on Cairo Radio here in Seattle, and we are no more. We have decided to go podcast only, and so you're going to hear maybe, I don't know, can we swear now?
We can.
Could we not swear before?
Unfiltered GeekWire Radio now.
So that's one change is we're not going to be having to rush to hit time breaks.
I can already tell, Todd, you're talking slower.
Is Emma?
Yes.
It's a little more relaxed. Delivery.
Maybe our listeners will tell us if Todd's talking slower than he normally does on the show.
And if people are new to the podcast, John and I started this, gosh, almost a decade ago now. Is that right? We were in my...
Back in the 80s, I think it was.
In the 80s. Yeah. Back in my basement in Sunset Hill in the Ballard neighborhood. And so another change is I'm committed to pulling you from your office into the studio more often.
Approximately 8 steps, I would say. So we should be able to do it.
And Monica's here. Obviously, Monica has a lot of great insights into all sorts of things going on in the civic realm, but also broader societal issues. So it's great to have you here as well, Monica.
Great to be here too, although I don't know if I'm capable of speaking more slowly, even if we aren't rushing for the radio.
And apparently I'm very loud, so
yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. Okay, let's jump in with our first story. Jeff Bezos has announced that he's getting divorced.
This was a real shocking story when I saw the headlines start moving.
If you had, like, this is the story, I would have never expected this story to happen. So Jeff Bezos has been married to his wife, Mackenzie Bezos, for about 25 years. And they met originally when, I didn't realize this before we were covering this story this week, when she was working for him at D.E. Shaw.
Yeah, D.E. Shaw.
Yeah, the hedge fund in New York, which is where he was when he basically got the idea for Amazon. And they drove out here to Seattle. And apparently chose it because of the income tax, the lack of
many reasons. Yeah. Do you really want to go down that path?
No,
it was
no.
Close to a book distributorship. They had a lot of talent they could mine here. And yes, the tax structure.
Okay. All
but
right.
Germane to this conversation, they had – I'm pulling you guys back. They had a really quick courtship in New York, and he told her he had this idea for Amazon. And she said, we have to do that. And so they moved to Seattle together. And one reason that that's relevant is because this week I kind of took a look at the law and what she might be entitled to in this divorce. And she has a very good case for half because they were together before Amazon happened. And under Washington state law, any assets that you acquire as a married couple are supposed to be split in half.
Yeah. So
really could alter a lot of things in Seattle. I mean, we're talking about wealth upwards of $70 billion. I mean, that's more than some small countries that Mackenzie is now potentially entitled to. Now, we don't have all the details. I know there was a report out that there was no prenuptial agreement in place here, which then, Monica, would lead to what you were saying, that they would indeed have to split the assets completely in half.
Right. But that's not to say that they didn't have some private agreement between the two of them that they've decided what's going to happen with these assets without it actually going through court.
Yeah,
and there's quite an incentive for them to do that because they're very public figures and a lot of information they don't want to be public would become public record if they went through the court.
And as it relates to his stock holdings, which is about 16% of Amazon, I mean, that comes into play too. If the shift of power on his stock holdings were to be altered dramatically, I mean, that would have a pretty big impact on Amazon as a company and its stock price. So there is a lot in play, which leads one to believe that they probably did resolve this prior to the announcement coming out.
Yeah, the shares is going to be really interesting because that's, I mean, I think that's where a lot of his wealth is locked up. And it's a public company, so you know a transfer of shares would probably need board approval. And I chatted with a divorce attorney who said that in most cases, the court will require the stockholder to liquidate their stocks so they can split those assets more easily. But if I were Mackenzie Bezos, I would probably want to hang on to the Amazon stock. I wouldn't want the cash.
Although it's at a pretty all-time high right now. So
right, nowhere to go but down.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what's happened to Apple over the last few months.
But that does speak to your story, Monica, which was great, which was looking at what happens here, I mean, with this wealth, because it is somebody, Mackenzie Bezos, who isn't a very high-profile person. She's a novelist. I don't think many people know much about her, what her interests are, but she's going to potentially become the richest woman in the world and have any of her passions or interests that she wants to go after potentially be front and center now. And that's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out.
It's also pretty remarkable that there is so much wealth concentrated in Seattle and in one person that it can
exactly.
be split in two, and we're still having these conversations about the wealthiest people.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that to me was kind of a thing that I wrestled with. I was up early and ended up writing the initial story, and I kept asking myself, okay, yes, it's about Jeff Bezos and we cover everything about Jeff Bezos, but why is this a story for us? And then there were all sorts of ancillary stories, unconfirmed, including a report by the National Enquirer about things that may or may not have happened to precipitate the divorce, which I'm sure you can read about on your supermarket newsstand. But why is this a relevant story? I mean, it's because in part of the sheer capital at play here and the impact of that capital. And you see it with things like the Gates Foundation, where they're changing things around the world with the wealth that the Gateses have assembled.
And you see with like Melinda Gates now, who's making a much bigger commitment to women in tech and venture capital investing. And that potentially has a massive impact on business, not only in the Seattle area, but globally. So I think it is absolutely a business story we need to be watching and paying attention to and telling our audience about.
That said, this was the last thing I expected.
It was really surprising. A sad story. I mean, they have four teenage kids. I can only imagine that's a painful experience to go through. I mean, the tweet that Bezos put out in combination with Mackenzie seemed to be putting a bright face on this about them moving forward. And maybe that is true, that they've just decided to go their own ways, and people do grow apart, and you got to respect two adults deciding to go whichever path they're going on. But still, total surprising story.
It was from his Twitter account, signed Jeff and Mackenzie. I kind of wondered about that, you know.
Yeah, but does she have a Twitter account? Have
no.
you ever seen her really
True.
Be out in the public
True, but
environment?
I don't
you
know.
Don't. You don't. The thing is, I was talking to somebody about this who used to work at Amazon in the early days, and she was saying like, you know, you never see Jeff and Mackenzie really kind of out in the community. I mean, you see
them at events.
Yeah, like you see Bill and Melinda around Seattle sometimes, or they're dedicating something at the University of Washington. I mean, they're around and they have a peer group and they have. But I don't know. Maybe
no. I think that maybe because you would see them like at red carpet events. They were at the Spheres opening together. They were at the Spheres opening together.
True. That is true. At the Spheres,
The Hutch, where the Bezos family donated to the immunotherapy center at the Hutch. I don't know if that's entirely accurate. I know what you mean. The cool thing about Bill and Melinda, at least back in the day, is there would be stories about you would see them sneaking out of the movie theater. Like they would be out having fun together.
Harvard exit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Where I used to work. Yes.
Did you ever see
them? No, we didn't overlap.
Yeah. But do you remember those stories back in the day where they would be going out to the movies together? And that to me is kind of cool.
And they both kind of have a public persona now too. Whereas here, Jeff Bezos has kind of created his public persona really only in the last 2 years. You know, the fact that he's on Twitter, he's riding a horse into a sports store in Colorado or wherever it was, which is so weird. But that's only been recently. You got to think back to, you know, one of his, you know, the Buff Bezos photo too. I mean, that's got to play into
when he's at Sun Valley walking across the lawn with his guns.
Wasn't that kind of a tip off that there was, you know, something else going on here?
So what I thought at the time was based on Brad Stone's reporting in the Everything Story, the book, was that Bezos was training to be an astronaut.
And maybe he still is.
Regardless of Bezos' muscles, I think that there is also a future here where Mackenzie doesn't take this wealth and influence and become more of a public figure. I don't personally think that you are married for 25 years to one of the most influential, wealthy, high-profile people and not elevate your own profile unless you want to. And I don't think of her as like a silent, kind of complacent participant in their business endeavors or wealth generation. I think it's just probably the role she wanted to play. Just because she becomes really rich doesn't mean she becomes a philanthropist like Melinda.
I totally agree with that. But that said, she still could have up to $70 billion, which you got to do something with that capital. And what is she going to do? But I think you're right. And it kind of speaks to her profession. I mean, she's a novelist. And to be a novelist, I think you have to be kind of
mysterious.
Yeah, serious, insular. You know, you don't want to be in the public eye. I read one interview with her where she was saying how she hated going to cocktail parties. And when she went to cocktail parties with Jeff, Jeff was like always wanted to chat with people. And she just really hated that. And so I think it is just a private person. That still said, it's a private person potentially with $70 billion.
This is my favorite part of the podcast. I just got a great story idea based on what you said. We need to have Molly Brown, our book reviewer, read and review Mackenzie's books to get a window into her mindset.
Sure.
Are you going to shoot me down on the podcast?
No.
You're just coming back in? You're already shooting my ideas down?
Sure. Go for it.
Well, it's going to be top of the site next week. That's going to be my revenge.
All right.
Let's talk about grocery stores.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes,
let's
go from divorce to grocery stores.
Yeah. Somehow the two have to be related, right? Okay. We are going to do that right after we take this break. You're listening to GeekWire, and we'll be right back.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
All right, welcome back. We had a lot of stories this past week, but one of them was particularly interesting to me. And that was the news that Microsoft and Kroger, the parent company of QFC and Fred Meyer. I always have to stop myself and not say QVC. I've got one of those weird brain blocks on this one.
Okay. No, it's QFC.
Yes.
Quality Food Centers.
Thank you. Yes. You owe me a Coke.
They are partnering to create basically the grocery store of the future. It's interesting from a few different perspectives. One is that the pilot store, one of them, is here in Redmond, and the other is in Ohio.
That's right. Well, that's where Kroger's based.
Yes.
Yeah. So
did you grow up going to – is Kroger actually a store too? It's not just the parent company?
Yes, it is. No. We grew up going to the little family chain Bueller's, which was a great grocery store.
I've seen their ads.
No, support local grocers.
No, I've seen
Bueller's.
Bueller.
No, different Bueller's.
That's not the one?
No. Okay. But anyway, fascinating that they're getting into this business, really taking on Amazon head on.
Well, maybe not head on. It's not exactly Amazon Go, but it certainly is a new way to shop. Okay, so let's explain what it is.
There only is so many places that people are going to go and buy their groceries. And Amazon has its play, and now Microsoft and Kroger have their play.
Right. So the gist is that you're going to walk around the store. You'll have set your shopping list on your phone, and when you walk around the store, no longer will they have paper tags on the shelves. They'll have digital shelves. And so it'll identify things. It'll give you coupons. And when you get close, it'll show your special icon next to the item that's on your list. So you don't have to go say, do I have the 12-ounce thing of the Chef Boyardee or the 16-ounce?
It's been talked about for 10 or more years.
But here it is.
Was this in Bill Gates' Road Ahead?
I'm sure it was.
I mean, come on.
Half the stuff. So was a smartphone, and he didn't do that.
That's right. So
I don't like it.
Do you like shopping? I mean, do you like grocery shopping?
I love grocery shopping.
Okay, so you like going to a physical store and grocery shopping.
Interesting.
So this would be something that you potentially
can interact
with.
Will you two stop talking and I'll explain? No, I mean, I feel like I beat this drum all the time, but I am kind of a Luddite when it comes to food. I don't think that it's a place where technology needs to necessarily disrupt. I think less corporate interest and less technology in our food system would be a better thing. I get most of my groceries at the farmer's market, and then I do go to Fred Meyer, a Kroger grocery store, to fill the gaps. But I feel like the more corporations get involved in trying to make the food that we eat efficient, the less of a relationship we have with cooking and whole ingredients and the natural food process, things that are in season, things that grow and what time of year. And
That's pretty hippie.
Yeah, well.
have you heard about her parents?
I know you're kind of hippie.
I'm not into the meal delivery kits. I'm not into Amazon Go, and I'm not into this new partnership.
So we should be just having more farm-to-table and farm stands that we're buying.
Yeah, don't you think it would be wild if you met the person who grew the food you were buying?
Well, urban farming is a thing, and I think actually there's a market for that that could continue to grow. But we're getting a little bit off topic on this high-end.
I just had to say my piece.
So you would not go to this store?
Well, I go to Fred Meyer. If they start getting fancy smart shelves, I'm not going to like stop needing almonds, but I just don't love it.
All right.
So, but the whole idea is that for the grocery store, they'll be able to sell advertising to the consumer packaged goods company. So you'll be walking along, and it could even be potentially targeted to you. They could watch what you're looking at. And it basically is taking the principles of the online world and like browsing a website. They track you. They know what you're interested in. They know your shopping list, and then they target you. And so it's nirvana, right?
Nirvana for marketers.
Yes.
Dystopia for consumers.
Yes. Well, this revived a long-running debate in my household with my wife. It's not quite a feud, but it certainly is a dispute that my wife and I have.
What is it? Do tell. This is exciting.
We both like doing the click and pick up. So you shop online, order your groceries, and then you drive to the store, and they have them waiting there for you. So Fred Meyer has a click list. That's part of Kroger. And I love, though, Amazon Fresh Pickup. There are only two of them in the entire world. One of them is, you know, about 7 blocks away from us.
Is that still a thing? I feel like there was a lot of buzz, and then I haven't thought
about it
since.
Apparently, Todd's using it.
So, it's amazing.
It's their one customer.
To me, it's the classic example of a tech company understanding how to engage with the consumer because they just know how to do it. I drive up to Amazon Fresh Pickup. I open an email. It immediately knows which space I'm in because they've scanned the license plate. They come on out. They give me a fist bump. They put the thing in the, put all the bags in the trunk. There's never anything that they don't have that I've ordered. And they say, "See you, Todd." And I go. Like 30 seconds. Let me tell you, Fred Meyer, oh my God. You drive up, you call the number. We'll be right out. They come out. It's like watching a turtle walk out of the store. It feels like 100, 200 yards away from where I am. Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. We don't have 5 of the things you ordered, but we did a replacement. Here was my favorite one. On New Year's Eve, we didn't have Dr. Pepper, but we got you Diet Dr. Pepper as a replacement. I mean, come on. Really? I turned that one down.
Yeah. You need extra sugar or something.
Right. And rant. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm not going to convince you to grow your own food.
I'm fascinated by your grocery shopping habits. So my wife and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum. It's really a healthy debate here. I'm in the middle. I guess I try to avoid doing it at all costs.
But the thing is, my wife loves Fred Meyer because the produce is better, which is true. It's just that there's a lot of trade-offs for that.
Don't you live on the same street as the Ballard Farmers Market? Just check it out.
No, not
just
on the...
see what's out there, you know? Bring your kid.
We go to the Ballard Farmers Market. It's awfully expensive to get the produce there. And I recognize that you're paying for the...
There's an artificially reduced cost at the grocery store.
Okay. All right. I hear you.
So what is the plan for these grocery stores to be rolled out en masse?
So they're testing them in Redmond and in Ohio. And Kurt Schlosser, our colleague, went out there and got to try the one in Redmond. And so if they go, depending on how the tests go, they would then roll them out to the rest of the grocery stores in the Kroger chain.
Now, the cynic in me says Microsoft and Kroger doesn't have as good a chance as Amazon and Whole Foods to do this well.
I think for the exact reason that I just said.
I think you're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, this is different from Amazon Go, where Amazon Go is like just pure Amazon. Like,
but you could imagine Kroger and Microsoft having that sort of computer vision AI technology that the next step is after you get your groceries, you just walk them out to the car and they've been scanned in your account. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to add that piece to it.
I don't know. Do you remember?
I mean, it is hard. It's just like if you already have the strategic relationship and you're doing – technology integration, it's just another piece of technology you could probably add into the mix.
Well, yes. And the other interesting thing is that Microsoft and Kroger are going to team up and then offer this technology to other retailers. And that's where it seems to get even more competitive with Amazon.
It is really fascinating watching technology intersect with the physical brick and mortar world, which we're seeing more and more of. This is an ongoing trend that has been going on for a while, but with Amazon really going heavy duty into it. I think there was just a story this week about how now Whole Foods is looking at some of the Sears locations. So you could see Amazon continuing to use Whole Foods and some of the other projects that they have like Amazon Go to really go deeper on this. And it seems like they're investing very heavily in it.
So could you see something using technology improve your grocery experience, Monica?
The drones. We need the drone delivery of groceries.
Yeah, it's drones. The answer was drones. I have a hard time envisioning it. In my ideal world, I'm growing most of my own food, and it's like a commune, and we're going in opposite directions, you know?
We really are. That's good, though. That's good. You need variety.
Yeah, exactly. It makes for a healthy podcast.
Okay. That's all I got on that. You done with that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's next?
Facebook and lessons from Uber.
Not something I thought think we would say maybe a year or two ago, but
exactly.
Here we are.
You two sort of conspired on this piece. In other words, Monica said, hey, this is a thing. And John said, yeah, that's a thing. And
well,
so you wrote it.
I learned that Monica had set me up and was testing me to see if I would jump on whether this was a good column idea, which I did because it was a great idea.
For those out there who don't know, the column, the idea is that Facebook is now embroiled in a ton of controversy. They've had a really bad year, just like Uber did a little over a year ago. And Uber replaced its CEO with Dara Khosrowshahi, the former CEO of Expedia. And I think that is a really good model for Facebook because since then, I saw this tweet, Uber's boring now. Like things have really died down. And I think Facebook would love to be boring right now.
It's going to take a lot for Facebook probably to get boring in the coming months or years. But I think there is something to this that a change in leadership, especially when you have a founder who's had as many missteps as Mark Zuckerberg has in recent months, it has to be looked at. And the board should be looking at it based on the valuation decrease.
Yeah, and the thing that really convinced me that this was a column was Mark Zuckerberg published his annual personal challenge that he does every year or something. You know, one year he learned Mandarin, one year he ran 365 miles, and this year it's to hold a series of public talks about the role of technology in society. And
which was similar to the one he did, was it last year when he did his cross-country tour? Isn't this kind of just an extension of
last year
of
he
that?
Said he was going to focus on the problems at Facebook.
When was the one where he was going to travel around?
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, yeah. So
anyway, the tenor of his Facebook post announcing this just made me feel like he's not capable of real fundamental change. I'll read you a little bit of it. He said, "There are so many big questions about the world that we want to live in and technology's place in it. Do we want technology to keep giving people a voice, or will traditional gatekeepers control what ideas can be expressed? Should we decentralize authority through encryption or other means to put more power in people's hands? In a world where many physical communities are weakening, what role can the internet play in strengthening our social fabric?" Now, if you read those, the answer to each of those questions is kind of more Facebook, right? It's technology can strengthen our communities through Facebook groups. It's encrypted communication puts the power in people's hands through WhatsApp, which Facebook owns. It's do we want technology to give people a voice? Through Facebook. And
he is the CEO of Facebook, so, you know.
Sure, but when he's talking about society's problems and the role of technology in them, knowing the really systemic problems that Facebook is causing, to just be like, and Facebook, it feels like tone deaf to me. And that was why I felt like this is a person who built something incredible, but maybe who's not ever going to be positioned to lead it in a way that's not deeply problematic.
Yeah, and I think that's why the column was a good thing to look into, because you have to be asking those questions now. My impression of Zuckerberg is that he built this amazing product and network that mushroomed beyond his wildest expectations. And you even saw it with some of the product announcements, like where they got away from the news business. You know, they were in the news business and they wanted to kind of bring it back home to just connect. And even their advertising, connect with your family. And what the advertisement is like a microcosm of the struggles inside of Mark Zuckerberg's head in terms of, gosh, I really wish as the founder of this company, we could just go back to the way it was when people loved connecting with their grandparents on Facebook. And it's just – yeah, I can understand the founder wanting to do that, but it's not going to happen. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. And given that, it seems like that's why you need somebody that can come in and take it in another direction.
Right. And I think the frustration a lot of people have with the CEOs of these big social media companies is they sometimes take a position of kind of like, we can't control it. It's just part of our lives now. It's too big and unruly for us to really stop these things.
Yeah,
and
these problems that, you know.
I think it's kind of the Frankenstein issue. Like, if you create the monster, you're responsible for it. It's not okay to just say, like, well, now this is our lives.
Yeah, and in the case of Facebook, you know, there were a lot of attempts to do a social network. This would just happen to be the one that got to this scale, and they had amazing success. So they got to their successful point and they became amazingly profitable and successful business, but at what stake? And I think that's the thing that Mark Zuckerberg is struggling with. It's just an identity crisis for the company. And it's hard for the founder, I think, in that instance to be the person who leads out of that morass. I don't know, Todd, can you think of an example out of the Microsoft history where Bill Gates had to make that pivot somehow, or
no? But the Microsoft history that really is instructive here is Steve Ballmer stepping down and Satya Nadella taking over, a company insider who really didn't change a whole lot except the culture.
True. In the case of that, though, Microsoft had you know, they weren't under as much attack from public.
No, but back
you know, public
they
debate,
had
got,
they
you
had
know,
gotten
yeah.
through that phase, and frankly, yeah. that was one of the reasons why Ballmer took over as CEO back in the day, was because Gates had gone through the entire antitrust stuff, and they wanted to have a different figurehead. But I think there are some parallels there.
I think you're right. I mean, the culture issue of this has to be talked about, because I can only imagine inside Facebook, it's not the most fun place to be working right now. And a new injection of energy with a new CEO could revitalize it, like what you've seen Satya do at Microsoft.
And what Dara Khosrowshahi did at Uber, where the morale was very, very low. I think there were a lot of employees who were kind of considering whether or not they were going to stay after all of these scandals, and while Travis Kalanick was still the CEO, because he was very embroiled with scandal himself. And bringing in Dara, who has a reputation of being very diplomatic, who had a great track record at Expedia, and who is kind of boring, kind of a boring dad, which is his brand. And I think it's intentional, because it feels like there's a grown-up in the room who's ready to mend fences and to bring this into an adult company.
So Facebook needs its Dara moment.
I think it does.
All right. So we will be right back with the Random Channel. You're listening to GeekWire. Welcome back to GeekWire. It's time for the Random Channel, that moment of the week when we talk about all the random items we were buzzing about behind the scenes here. John, let's hear about the GeekWire Bash.
Oh, I was wondering where you were going to go with the Random Channel. The GeekWire Bash coming up March 7th is our geek carnival, with everything from foosball to dodgeball to VR to video games. And this year, introducing a junior geek zone where we're going to have First Washington having a robotics competition, all sorts of geeky fun stuff going on there. Close to 2,000 folks come out. And it's fun. You should get your tickets now. Tickets to the tournaments, including the very competitive and fun dodgeball tournament, are open now on GeekWire.
So GeekWire Bash, we have –
where is it? GeekWire.com/bash.
That's
yes.
Right. And so this is – it started out as a pretty modest ping pong tournament 7 years ago, and it has grown into this giant event at the CenturyLink Field Events Center with – ping pong, dodgeball, foosball, and now all ages.
And companies come out in full force to either participate in the tournaments or to rally behind some of their competitors or just have fun flying down the zip line or doing giant sumo wrestling.
All right. So that's geekwire.com/bash. Ton of fun. And it's the date again is?
March 7th.
Got it.
Mark
okay.
your calendars, please.
Excellent.
That's the random channel, huh?
No, it's one of us. Your
okay.
item. It's your item. I set you
thanks.
Up there. All right.
Thanks for
I've got yours too,
item.
Monica. You
yes.
want to talk about it? I got yours too.
I'm looking for mine. What?
Okay, yes.
Just
right.
Todd has picked them for us, Monica.
Oh,
we just
okay.
have to follow
I, well, I had
yes.
my own personal
okay,
one.
Okay, so that's much better. Go
no,
for it.
No, tell me what
I
my random
I'm
channel is.
I'm curious. What is Monica's? What did you have picked out for Monica?
Monica, I want to hear about your Game of Thrones plans.
Oh, that's still kind of a ways off, but...
Well, we were chatting about it this week. Monica has started dropping into Slack random mentions, like we're chatting on Slack, and she'll like respond to one of my things by saying, well, that's the spoils of war. And I'm like, oh my God, you're just getting ready for Game of Thrones,
sometimes
aren't
I just
you?
Feel like
have,
things should be more
I have
epic.
Never watched the show, so I would have zero context for
well,
this.
It's just kind of a, it's not something they say necessarily, but it's kind of a Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah, I like to say everything with like the most drama possible.
Oh, thank you. For keeping it fun around here.
I try. Well, it comes back in April, but usually we have, we call them Gotlex with our friends. It's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
do you get it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's funnier than you seem like you're reacting. But where all of our friends come over and everybody brings a different dish and we'll give it a theme like, you know, Mexican food or
do you, like,
medieval
eat
food.
Meat off the bone stuff. And
we've, one year, one of my friends baked these like, pigeon pies that were, it was like a whole. Like Cornish game hen inside of a dough thing. It was wild.
Whoa.
Anyway, yeah, that's my Game of Thrones plans, but that was not my random channel.
Okay,
that was
hit
fed
hit
to
us.
Me. It was just a funny tweet from Netflix during the Golden Globes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Netflix was their whole Twitter presence during the Golden Globes was great. Like at one point they really heavily promoted Killing Eve, which is a show that's not streaming on Netflix, but just, you know, being sportsmanlike. But the tweet that I really liked was, shout out to everyone who's watching commercials for the first time in several months.
That was clever.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
It's something you forget about what the streaming services have done. I mean, that's what the thing I liked about that tweet. I mean, my own viewing habits have changed so much where it has switched to the streaming services that you just think that that's how you watch video content now. There's no commercials.
Yeah. We don't even have cable. We just have a bunch of different streaming subscriptions. What's your random channel, Todd?
Yeah.
My random channel, Bill Gates, has a new app called Likewise. It's funded by him. It's run by the CEO of Gates Ventures, Larry Cohen, his longtime chief of staff. And
Ian Morris, the former CEO of House Values.
That's right. That's right. I think Larry is the chairman and Ian is the CEO of Likewise, which is this recommendations app where you ask and you find things to watch, like movies or things to do and watch, like restaurant recommendations. You get them from your friends and it's a place to collect them. Bill Gates put out one this week and he asked for a recommendation. I'm looking for a great movie or documentary to watch with my friend Warren Buffett.
Oh my gosh. Like, what were the responses on that?
You know
that?
What? Crap. I left my phone in the other
oh
room. I wish
gosh.
I had brought it in here. But it wasn't anything super remarkable, but it was funny watching people make recommendations.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you, what would you recommend that Bill Gates – maybe we can
ask our audience.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Send it to us.
Send us what documentary – Bill Gates and Warren Buffett should watch. Are they both tennis players? Because I was going to – what is it? Ice and Fire, the Bjorn Borg and
no,
John McEnroe.
It's funny you should say that because when Larry Cohen, the person
yeah.
– he – like they were recommending that to me when I met with them to see the app for the first time.
Really?
I haven't seen –
Oh,
wait,
it's good. It's
Ice
good.
And Fire. Is that the Rafael Nadal one?
No. It's the Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe like 70s rivalry, which was so classic. Monica probably has no idea who these people are.
I'm just along for the ride.
Okay.
What, do you know who Bjorn Borg is and John McEnroe?
I know John McEnroe.
Okay.
I've seen that movie. There's
another more I've seen the 30 for 30 on that one.
Yeah,
do you
yeah.
watch to do that?
I know that.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm part of this conversation.
All right. What movie would you recommend they see? Because you're a real movie buff.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to follow up because I don't want to jump to an answer that's not perfect.
All right. Well, if any of our listeners out there have recommendations of movies for Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
Documentaries.
Yes. Is it documentaries? No.
Oh, was it anything?
Movie or documentary.
Okay.
Movie or documentary. Send it to tips
Yeah.
Tips at geekwire.com.
Tips at geekwire.com, yes.
Subject line, Bill and Warren.
Yes.
Movie.
From the submissions we receive, you know.
Well, I've got nothing.
We'll give them a Numbers Geek t-shirt.
There you go. Yes,
if we like the
up.
Best one.
There you
yes.
go.
I might watch it if it sounds good.
All right. Excellent. All right. Hey, that is the GeekWire podcast for this week. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm John Cook.
I'm Monica Nicholsberg.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And don't do that.
I won't. I did it.
Stop fighting.